Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
And we're talking.
Did you remember it this time?
I was conscious for that one. I bet you it's better because I was conscious for it. Don't you think?
Remember last time he said he didn't remember
doing
the hey-hey?
I was just sleepwalking through the hey-hey and just missed it.
Third year thumpers.
Third year Thirsty Thursdays.
Third year Thunderdomes.
That works. What's like a... that's not good either. Third year step ups.
Another step.
Junior jumpers.
Junior jumpers. Okay. Ooh. I don't hate it.
Getting some alliteration. Sophomore step up. Junior jumpers.
Junior jumpers.
Was our fourth year?
That sounds like some like little tyke's toy. It's a junior jumper.
Then we do senior dropouts. Like these guys are in their fourth year.
Senior suckies.
Drop out before their contract's up. Look at me.
Look at you coming up with segments on the spot.
All right. Junior jumpers it is.
Junior jumper.
The JJs.
So we are talking third year players that we are think going into their fourth year, which is usually the make or break year.
Guys going into their third year.
Second year guys going into their third year.
I could tell on your face you knew it wasn't right.
Yeah. This is your make or break year. Yeah, the fourth year, is usually they're done. They're like, hey, we're just
unless you're Robert Woods, you're done.
Mike Williams also, I think, had a fourth year breakout.
There you go.
So it can happen.
Outliers. Yeah. But usually it's we say all the time, it takes 2 to 3 years to really like take that step into the NFL, whether it be, just acclimating to the NFL, learn the playbook, coaching changes could have done too. There's so many different variables that could go into effect of it. So, hey, Dynasty nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to start. My first player is actually Jahan Dotson. It's not just because he has such a great last name. We're talking about the former 16th overall pick in the 2022 draft. And
this guy vanished like a fart in the wind this past year.
He did. After a good rookie year.
I know.
Now, I know when I say good, it's kind of like inflamed a little bit because he really thrived on the touchdowns. He scored a lot of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Tutties.
That was it. So, but you're talking about a player that still was a first round pick, and he's entering a team that has a number two overall pick, so their quarterback situation is going to change drastically, which is, it's been a hindrance. Even though Sam Howell had a lot of passing yards last year, Sam Howell and Bieniemy's offense was like a first read kind of dump and go kind of offense. Like, if it wasn't going to Antonio Gibson, then it was going to Curtis Samuel on a quick crossing route. Like, it was really not designed for Jahan to really thrive there. And honestly, it wasn't really designed for Terry McLaurin to thrive a lot there either. You know, when you look back and you're like, oh, Sam Howell led the league almost at one point in passing yards. Like, Terry and John must be crushing it. No,
not really.
No, they weren't. They sure weren't. So he's in a situation we talked about foreseeing that landscape and the opportunity for touches, right? Terry McLaurin's older than most people even think. He's 28 years old.
28, yep.
And he has a contract next year that costs $24.1 million against the cap in 24. So he's probably going to be on there. He's going to be on the team for sure. That's not a question. But after this season, I mean, there's a chance that he could be off the team. Curtis Samuel, he's 27 years old. He's going to be off the team this year. And that's encouraging. And Curtis Samuel is, I mean, when he's leaving behind, he was wide receiver 42. He averaged 10 points per game.
For what it's worth, this will actually be his age 29 season for Terry McLaurin.
So he'll be 29. So he is 29, but he'll be 20. He's 28,
September 15th is his birthday. So he'll be 29.
So the end is near, friends. Yep. The end is near. But Curtis Samuel is a player that's taken 92 targets with him, 62 receptions, 613 yards, and 4 touchdowns. You're going to bring a better quarterback in, a whole new offensive system. So what this
better
does
be
is...
better.
Yeah.
Better be better.
Who's
the
worse.
Who's the offensive coordinator? I'm sorry. I can't remember who Washington
Let me pull it up.
I'll look it up if you guys don't know.
That's yeah, fine. I can't recall off the top of my head. They obviously
Cliff Kingsbury.
No, the new one is, but not the old one is what you were asking.
No, Bieniemy was
the
old
one. You're asking
Cliff.
Cliff Kingsbury.
I can't keep up. There's
so like, what does Cliff run? He runs these fast-paced offenses, right? Where like when you look back at it, when he was offensive play caller in the NFL, I mean, his offense finished in the top 3 in pace and offensive plays. I think 3 out of 4 times that he was in control of there. So he's going to come here with Washington with a lot of skilled players here. The number 2 overall pick in the draft. They got money to spend. The offense is going to change, be more fast paced. Like everything just like aligns for Jahan Dotson, who did, for me to say like, oh, it's going to get better. It can't get worse.
It really cannot.
And he's a great throwing piece right now. Like he's not going to cost you much. And we'll talk to Price here in a minute, but this is somebody who's got excellent hands, you know, really
fantastic. Yep.
Really good contested catch ability. So he's a player, and there's a lot to be real excited about after his rookie year that got destroyed by his sophomore year. And now, again, these are great buys in Dynasty where they like it doesn't cost you much, and the upside is tremendous, right? Like, can Jahan Dotson turn into a wide receiver 3?
And you mentioned earlier, you know, Curtis Samuel leaving. I don't think you mentioned all of his numbers, though, but...
I did.
Oh, did you? 91? I mean, 92
targets.
91. Oh, I got 91. 91, 92 targets. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
To kind of redistribute there. And Jahan Dotson, of the people that are left on the on here, I mean, it's him and Deami Brown. Like who else is there that is going to absorb? So, obviously...
Logan Thomas.
Obviously, McLaurin's going to get some of that as well. But McLaurin already had 130 targets last year.
He's probably not getting too
much. He's not going to get too much. So, a lot of that is going to have to go, I think, get funneled to Jahan Dotson just because I think he's the most skilled player left that isn't receiving them. So, you know, he got 83 last year. This is a guy you could easily see getting 115 targets at least just because, like you said, not only are these based off of last year's numbers and we expect them to have more offensive plays, which will lead to more targets. So, I mean, all these numbers across the board can be going up as far as targets and all that kind of stuff, just because there's going to be more plays in a Cliff Kingsbury style offense compared to Bieniemy.
Whether it be Drake May, Jaden Daniels there, will be
who knows? They could even try to make a play for Caleb Williams. He was the offensive coordinator, Kingsbury was, for Caleb Williams last year. So who knows? That could have been part of their motivating factor.
And didn't Kingsbury start off by interviewing with the Bears?
He might have.
I think he did.
He might have.
And then he switched gears and went over there.
I know he was talking with the Raiders for a while too. Okay. The Raiders was the other team that he was talking with. But
yeah, he had a deal that was almost, it was talked like he was going to be the offense coordinator at Raiders.
Was it the Raiders then that I was thinking of? That
maybe.
Where he was at before?
But the Bears offensive coordinator is now with the Raiders, so maybe that's the connection.
Maybe that's where in my brain things are getting kind of screwy. But who knows? Maybe he got some inside info and decided to pick Washington instead.
Yeah, who knows? So it would definitely be an interesting move because I'd be curious to see what the price tag to move from 2 to 1 is.
A lot.
I would assume so, but if that's their guy, then
yeah,
it's worth it.
It could be a Terry McLaurin.
And somebody plus. When you're talking about price tag, right? So I go in the Dynasty GM trade finder, and sorry, my wife is texting me for my tax ID. Okay. You know, Jahan Dotson and a 24 second for Najee Harris and a fourth in a super flex league. Jahan Dotson and a 24 second for.
I actually kind of liked the Najee side, actually.
That's fine. I understand why you would. I mean, yeah. But I'm assuming, I hope that's a high second.
Yeah.
Roschon Johnson for Jahan Dotson straight up.
I would take Dotson.
And then I saw 24 second, 24 second, 24 second in Superflex tight end premium league.
So this is, I mean, this is a guy that was going at the latter part of the first round when he was mm-hmm. initially drafted. And now you're getting him somewhere in the second round. It yeah. sounds like pretty consistently.
Probably a late second round. Honestly, it'd be a late second round pick.
Yeah. And really that does offer a lot of value. He had 518 yards last year, four touchdowns. I'm sure you mentioned that along with the other stuff. So he does have room, I think, to get up into that 1,000-yard, 1,100-yard range pretty easily, I think.
And I think we're all expecting better things for this Washington football team. If I remember right, when we were doing buys, you talked about Jahan Dotson. I talked about Terry McLaurin. Like, we expect better from this group
yep,
overall. For sure. And if they can get the right, you know, before it was looking like it was going to be Ben Johnson, and that was a big thing. Well, Cliff Kingsbury, even though I know he's had his shortcomings as a head coach, is great for fantasy football purposes.
Yep, he sure is.
So that's going to be great for this offense. So I'm excited about the pieces that they have there. Curious to see what they do in the running game. But going back to specifically Dotson, loved it. I had a really high nerd score on him. Looked great after year one. And then just things just didn't come together, didn't materialize. He was more or less relegated to the number three role this year,
yep.
As weird as it was. So you'd think a guy with that type of pedigree getting picked in the mid-first round, they're going to find a way to utilize. I would hope, but we'll have to wait and see.
And it comes to a situation where it's like when a player is so low, their ADP is so low, and you're looking for somebody to kind of just step up to a possible wide receiver three to flex role. Like this is a player that I looked at in this class at the best opportunity to do that. So, yeah, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'll move on to my guy. You know, my last one's my second or my sophomore step ups where I think a little deeper of a dive, whereas this one might be a little chalkier feeling. But my guy is Zamir White, currently coming off the
you
board.
You don't like Zamir.
Currently coming off the board at 146. I do want to just reiterate my love for Zamir White and the fact that he's finally starting to show some stuff and kind of make sure he's staying on, I guess, the top of people's minds here. But last year finished as running back 56 on the year. Obviously, never really got a shot until down the stretch of the last four games of the season. Between weeks 15 and 18, Zamir was running back 9 overall. So he's already kind of flashed what kind of potential he has. And really, the part that's most interesting to me is the way that they used him, right? I mean, they used him as an every down back in those last four games when Josh Jacobs went out with injury.
It's to the same coach?
To the tune of 17 attempts, 22 attempts, 20 attempts, 25 attempts. They were getting him involved in the passing game. 4 targets, 1 target, 6 targets, 2 targets. An element of the game that we kind of didn't know. It was an unknown on him.
For sure.
But he showed, I think, passable grades there as far as his ability to catch passes as well. And you mentioned it. The whole catching, the coaching staff is there. The people that saw him do well last year are back. And add that to the fact that Josh Jacobs, really along with Saquon Barkley, are the crown jewels of this free agent class.
For sure.
I would expect him to be playing for another team and Zamir White to get an opportunity next year. And you know, like we've kind of tiptoed around it and kind of, or not tiptoed around it, but kind of said, hey, think this is going to happen. But when push comes to shove and free agency is kind of right on our doorstep, you start digging in a little bit and looking at that stuff. And really, if you're looking for a young running back, you know, there's been rumors of the Cowboys looking, you know, like, hey, Josh Jacobs will look great on the Cowboys, which he would. Saquon would look great on the Cowboys. But
I might look great on the Cowboys.
But those two guys offer unique, I think, every down role and youth. they can maybe get one last contract out of these guys,
right.
And these guys are just your answer at running back. You don't have to do a committee. You don't have to do any of that crazy stuff. And to have those kind of, I guess, unique skill sets in those two players, I think they're going to go out and get jobs relatively easy. Mm-hmm. And it's the other players like, you know, King Henry, he's going to have to find the right situation.
Sure.
And Austin Eckler is going to have to find the right situation.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire's got to find the right situation.
Right. So these guys might be hanging out a little bit longer in free agency at the running back position, whereas I think Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley are just going to get snapped up pretty quickly.
First
couple of days of free agency, these guys are going to find a home, and we're going to get some resolution on this Zamir White situation. And I do think it's going to be a good resolution. So right now is the time. Like if you want to get in on Zamir White, while he might be a little bit cheap because there's a little bit of uncertainty surrounding the start of free agency, this might be the perfect time, I think, to go out.
It's funny you say that, because somebody asked me that question directly a couple weeks ago. What do I do with Zamir White? Do I trade him now with the speculation that maybe he's getting the full-time job? Do I wait till he does get the job and then trade him? Or do I just hold on to him?
Just hold on, like, wait to see if there's another draft pick. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, because worst case scenario is I hold on to him and then Josh Jacobs does come back and, you know, all that stuff. So kind of thinking through all the different scenarios of what could happen. And my thought was, look, could you hold on to him and Josh Jacobs does come back? Sure. That would suck. But the reward of holding and waiting to see if he does get that job, because if he does get that job, now you're getting a first plus mm-hmm. for him if you want to trade him, or just hold on to him and have a really good RB2. You know, those are two very good outcomes. If not, if you're stuck holding him, oh well, like it's not the end of the world, but the worst would be to sell right now for like the 201, and
you're kind of kicking your own legs right. out from underneath.
Yeah, you hit on the head there. Like, what are you missing out on? You're missing out on a second round pick, like best case scenario. Yeah. Maybe some, like Zamir White's aunt would give you 2 seconds. Maybe.
Sure.
But that's what you're missing out. I would rather miss out on that with the opportunity to gain a running back, you know, one for their team. A guy who could be, like you mentioned, a running back two on my dynasty team with a potential, barring how injuries play out, how his touches work out, a potential running back one. Like he's a talented running back. He's somebody who we enjoyed their tape.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he falls in that kind of like we talked to Tajay Spears last time. Zamir White is a player that all three of us were big on from a tape perspective. Just kind of buried there. We didn't. We were like, hey, we still like him. Josh Jacobs is probably gone next year. And then they franchise tag.
Right.
You know, that's right. How it worked out. This year, they're probably not going to double tag Jacobs because that's pretty pricey. Right. And Matt mentioned before, he'll probably be gone. So you're really worried, do they bring another guy in for cheaper who then would probably split carries with Zamir White, or they draft a guy and the guy they draft probably won't be in position to outproduce Zamir White. And like Matt said, even Garrett said, bringing the whole coaching staff, that's absolute massive news because they know that Zamir White is a can now.
Yep.
So as they're building this team and trying to get it ready for where they want to take it, you know, this is a good window to see what they actually have given him a full workload in the full year for him. So there will be a window where, like, if he's just okay, but he's getting all the touches, you're going to get more than that second you're getting today. Mm-hmm. If he's really good, you're getting more, or you have a really good quality running back on your hands that you could trade after the season's over. Because I would ride Zamir the whole season and then sell is what I would do. Because then he's getting closer to that second contract, and I'd want him off my team. Zamir definitely falls in the hashtag 2 to 3 year window.
Absolutely.
Yep. If he was the starter. But with that body type and that mold, like he could be like that Mike Davis was for Atlanta a couple of years again to finish as running back 12. Like Zamir
just on
White
volume
could be
alone.
Just on volume alone.
And they've shown
pass catching ability.
They've shown in that short window, they're willing to feed that dude. They're willing to give him the rock. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a slightly different situation because I'm guessing Aiden O'Connell isn't going to be the guy.
They saw their comments today
that he is leaning towards being the guy.
No. Did you hear the comments today?
I did not hear the comments today.
Who was it? It was either the head coach or the GM. I don't remember who came out and said, you know, in worst case scenario, we have Aiden O'Connell. So apparently that's their worst case scenario. So it does sound like
worst case scenario.
Yeah. It does sound like they are thinking upgrade. We're going to try to get somebody else in here.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is available.
I mean,
who just failed his drug test and he saved the team $13 million.
They're like, or $11 million.
I mean, Justin Fields is out there. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that could.
He's been linked to a lot of teams, and those are the two that I've seen the most have been the Raiders and the Falcons.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer. That you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out the DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate
set. the Raiders would be a nice little boost to their offense. Ryan Tannehill is a player that could be possible. Russell Wilson's a possibility. I'm still in a belief, like, I wouldn't mind trying, if I was a team, giving Jake Brown an opportunity as, like, a one-year, like,
he looks good.
Window guy.
If you miss out on your guy in the draft and you don't think any of those other guys are worth it, Jake Browning's not a bad idea.
There's just so many options. Like, they want to. They could go, like, a Bo Nix. You know, like, there's so many opportunities there. But no. I love the Zamir White pick, nonetheless. I think
Penix feels like he could be a Raider.
Penix feels like he'd be a Raider in a second round.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, from being like, we'd pretty much given up hope on Zamir because he'd been obsolete when it comes to production. It felt so good to see him get an opportunity and then
produce.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is when you talk a player up for a year, it's kind of like they don't know because they don't get the opportunity. Like, oh, if he would just got the opportunity,
and I would have found out.
I was losing all of the faith I had.
I was too, man. I was like, oh, dang, he entered Jag territory. Dang it.
Like, if J.K. Dobbins just never got hurt.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
All right, who's your guy?
Speaking of my guy, this is definitely a guy that I've hyped up quite a bit over the years, and he's shown flashes. And particularly towards the end of this season.
So he's like a creepy guy in a trench coat.
Yes. He's flashing people. He's got a stash. Khalil Shakir.
He's got a stash. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You can't be a pervert if you don't have a stash.
Yeah. Good point. Sorry.
It's completely illogical. Khalil Shakir, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. I've been talking about him a little bit over the past few years. One of those late round guys that, you know, his skill set was better than a lot of the other guys I thought that were drafted in a similar range. And he's really shown up big towards the end of the season for the Buffalo Bills. Over his last 5 games, and this includes playoff games, averaged over 50 yards a game, nearly 5 receptions per game, had 2 touchdowns over that time span. Also had games during the season with 115 yards, 92 yards. So he had some really big games, which is wild because he's not a guy that necessarily strikes you as a big play guy. He's more of a player that goes over the middle, has good hands, can make a nice play on the ball, but he's not this crazy explosive athlete. But you factor in that it looks like a relative certainty that Gabe Davis is going to be gone.
Said goodbye to that.
Yeah. It looks like he's not going to be coming back. And I get it. Kincaid is coming in, and he's going to have a nice role. And he's a fantastic tight end.
He's a real
But they need a number two wide receiver in this offense. And I think he's kind of been auditioning for that over the past 2 years. And he's shown that in the biggest games, in the biggest moments, that he can make those plays. So he's one of those players that I think is still for enough people under the radar, you know, coming in as a wide receiver like 70 and ADP. So he's still pretty far under the radar. And I don't know that, you know, we always talk about guys, he could be a low-end wide receiver two, he could be a high-end wide receiver three. I don't know that he ever quite reaches that type of range, but he reminds me of the guy that, man, so-and-so's hurt, it's a bye week, it's blah, blah, blah. I need somebody that is going to get me 8 to 10 points. That's Khalil Shakir. Khalil Shakir, I think, consistently can be that guy that is a good bye week fill-in, a good to make sure that you get solid production. So, you know, when I talk about a guy stepping up, this isn't – I'll talk about another guy later that I think is a much bigger name and a much bigger step up. But this is a player that I think is going to go from relative obscurity to a very common fantasy football name that is going to be a solid contributing player for your team for a very long time in Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, he's savvy. He's a good route runner, got good hands, can stretch the field some as well. Started really – definitely second half of the season, really started to gain some trust with Josh Allen, where they started to go away from Gabe Davis and kind of move to Khalil Shakir when the games really mattered late in the season and in the playoffs. Like, again, they kind of fade away from Gabe Davis and kind of really relied on Khalil Shakir. Definitely when Stephon Diggs was kind of having, you know, the those last seven games, Diggs was irrelevant. Like, it was Kincaid took a step forward, but it was Khalil Shakir probably took the biggest step forward for that Buffalo offense. So, you know, and that means a lot. You know, when a quarterback can trust your receiver, that goes a long way, right? Once you lose that trust of that quarterback, it's hard for him to look for you.
Yep.
But when he knows he can count on you, he's going to go out of his way to look for you. Mm-hmm. So whether what read you're supposed to be in that play call, if the quarterback says, hey, man, I need a play, I'm going to go here, that's a big step. And with Gabe Davis leaving, again, there's so many receivers in this draft. It's hard to see how it all plays out and what round they go. But if not, Khalil Shakir is at worst in line to be the wide receiver three on this team. That's worst case. Best case, wide receiver two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was he was a player that when he came out, I thought he was going to be probably limited to the slot, right? And that's kind of what I saw off the tape. So he's a guy that I think exceeded what I thought he could do in the NFL. And I think the proof of it is the fact that Allen is starting to go to him more. He's doing more, I think, after the catch and that kind of stuff as well. I think he's a little bit tougher of a football player than I thought maybe off my initial college tape. So all good things, you know, he's proven it in the biggest moments, like you said, in the playoffs that he can go out and be a dog and just kind of fight for extra yardage and be that guy to kind of – you need to play, let's throw it Shakir's way, you know? So Gabe, I think, is gone. The interesting thing to me is what's going on with Diggs? What's going to happen with him long-term?
He's guaranteed.
I know. They say that, but there's been a lot of smoke here for a few years now, and this is finally the year where they could probably – half this thing by making him a post June 1st and get out from underneath that and save some money on the cap.
I downplayed it a little bit. There is a small part of me, and I think the odds of this are a 1% chance, a 2% chance. But I remember a few years ago, Cole Beasley was a wide receiver one on this Buffalo Bills team. Very similar skill set, just bigger.
Yep.
But very similar skill set. Guy that gets open, guy that catches the ball, guy that just is in the right spot at the right time. If things do go south for Diggs and he's not quite the guy that he once was, and I'm not convinced that's true necessarily, but if that's the case, he could all of a sudden find himself in a role, not because he's such an elite player, but because he's a smart, savvy route runner that catches the ball and is in the right place at the right time.
And the target volume's
there. And all of a sudden, oh, you got 120 targets this year? Holy cow. Like, those things happen. We see one or two of those guys pop up every year that we did Hunter Renfrow. Like, where did that come from? You know, those kinds of things do happen. So while I wouldn't say that it's likely, it is in the back of my mind of this could be a boom guy just because of the situation.
Yep. I just wanted to add that extra element. I think he's a good player and better than I thought he would be coming out. So kudos to him. I'm sure it took a lot of hard work.
All right. My next guy here is Jake Ferguson, tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he's not a turd Ferg. He's Jake Ferg, baby.
Fergalicious.
6'5", 250 pounds. And coming off a year where he kind of had a breakout year in his sophomore year. 102 targets, which was second on the team. He caught 71 of those for 762 yards and 5 touchdowns. Was a heavy look. Led the NFL, I believe, in red zone targets. He had 25 red zone targets. Yeah, that led the NFL. And Dak Prescott had 109 red zone attempts. So he had, you know, almost 25% of the red zone looks from Dak Prescott. And, you know, he only had a 17% target share, which is, again, pretty impressive to see that.
Yep. Wow.
Out of all the targets that he got, he really did capitalize. And what I really liked what I saw of Schultz Ferguson as well was the second half of the year, Dak really started to lean on Ferguson. And in that playoff game, you saw that he had a ton of targets. And, you know, he really let – I mean, obviously he had 3 touchdowns as well, but he really let on Ferguson to really help try and take them to that next game, to the division game. And when you look at that, when you talk about Dak and tight end overall, or even Mike McCarthy's offense, when you look at it last year, Dalton Schultz was tight end 10. In 2022. And again, Jake Ferguson was 9 this year. In 2021, he was tight end number 3. He was tight end 3 in 21. And in 2000, he was tight end number 11 in 2020. So in all Mike McCarthy's years, they have a tight end 1 on the roster. And it's been Dalton Schultz, and now Jake Ferguson's kind of stepped in that role.
As I say, you're mixing the two players, right? Like, this is just Mike McCarthy's offense. The tight end finishes in Mike McCarthy's offense.
Yes, because it's been Dalton Schultz previously. Gotcha. But even if you go back on there for Dak Prescott over the years, Dak has always loved the tight ends. I mean, the tight end has pretty much had double-digit, the second in targets on the team going all the way back to Jason Witten, essentially.
Sure.
And there's a couple of years there where it was like tight end. He'd be like the tight end would be the third in targets. And mostly that really started when like Andy Dalton came in for like the 11 games. So in his breakout season with his target share and what he's doing, I mean, Jake Ferguson has a chance to really be the second option in this offense. We don't know what they're going to do at receiver. We don't know which way they're going to go, but it's always been Dak in the tight end has been his number 2 target out there. So over the last 7 weeks of the season, he averaged 5.86 catches, 53 yards, and 0.57 touchdowns with tight end 7 on the year, Jake Ferguson, on the second half of the season, averaging 10.2 points per game. So we saw in that playoff game, in the last game of the year, that the touchdowns really started to come. He had 2 touchdowns in the last game of the year and then 3 in the playoff game. And already having those red zone targets on an offense that really likes to move the ball and score a lot of points, I look for very positive regression here in his touchdown numbers overall. When he only had 5 touchdowns this year, I think Jake Ferguson has a real good chance to get into that double-digit touchdown mold and be there consistently. And the only thing that really makes me nervous, it's not even about another receiver they bring in, is the fact that they spent a second-round pick last year on Luke Schoonmaker. Mm-hmm. He was 58th overall. But I mean, Jake Ferguson's shown that he can get done.
Off all year.
He's already got the trust in a guy like Dak Prescott who leans on the tight end year in and year out. Like I said, I mean, looking back historically over Dak's years, he always finds a way to get the tight end involved. Yep. And you can say, hey, well, he had Jason Witten. Well, did they make Jason Witten because of the targets? You know, same thing here. Is Jake Ferguson a light? Does he burn at the end of the wick with athletic ability? No, but he's very, very consistent.
I'm not sure what that
I was waiting for the finale of that thing too.
Does he burn the world
at the end of the wick?
And that was something I was going to bring up too.
No, he doesn't.
That was something I was going to bring up.
Consistability, baby.
Consistability. He in college, he was a really good player, and you know, I like the tape coming out, and then he ran a 4.83 or something crazy like that. A pretty slow time, and
Wisconsin boy.
Yeah, and it didn't look great. I think he dropped a little bit on boards and all that kind of stuff as far as the dynasty community. But he just sat there and ground and got better. And I think nowadays, if he was to rerun that 40, it would be quicker and faster than it was when he came out. And it's the one thing that we don't ever allow for, right? For these guys
to get better.
To get better. It was the same thing with Kyren Williams. And I think he was a guy, I think Turd Ferguson is a guy that got better. You know what I mean? Yep. And he got faster. I think he looks faster. He looks faster
now. With the ball in his hands.
More fluid than he has in years past. And it might just be a guy coming into his own as far as physical ability.
His yards after the catch to the shirt was it was pretty nice. His catch point was on, like, going up and getting the ball was money. Really was able to box out the defenders really, really well. And like I said, you mentioned that 4.48. You're like, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to produce. Like, he's going to be like
4.48.
Yeah.
Not 4.48.
Like Austin Hooper, right? Like, I catch the ball and I go down. Yeah. But he was not like that at all. Like, he was actually good with the ball in his hands and got things done. Kind of like a, almost, I know, for two breakout players, like a poor man's Trey McBride, essentially.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
And he's right now, you can get him for a second round pick.
Yeah.
Like, even in Superflex tight end premium leagues, some trades. Superflex, 24 second for Ferguson. Treylon Burks in a second for Ferguson. Musgrave in a third for Jake Ferguson, just a PPR league. 2 seconds in a Superflex tight end premium league. Jake Ferguson and a second, 24 second for Kyle Pitts. I'd probably want Pitts there.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen and Jake Ferguson for Jahan Dotson.
I'll go either way on that one.
Either way, if I need a tight end,
if you need tight end premium, lean towards tight end.
But for a guy that's likely going to be a tight end one, it might be tight end 8, tight end 9.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm struggling with this one. I just don't like to acquire that kind of dead zone tight end.
I get that. But his history is going to tell you he's going to be right around tight end 8, 9, sure. Right around there. So, and I know from talking about tight ends over in abundance is, what's the difference between tight end 8 and tight end 15? Well, one's, Grant, on a points per game difference, not much. But one finishes 8 and one finishes at 15. Sure. So if you can get the guy that's going to finish at 8 and give you that little slight extra point for almost nothing, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But a guy that, the problem with tight ends between 8 and 15 is usually it's like, it's a smorgasbord. Like they're just rotating through. Like it could be anybody. History shows us the Dallas tight end over the last 6 years is going to be tight end 8 to tight end 11.
Yeah,
like right around there.
If so not you're higher, gonna I'm going to say Schultz was what, 3 or 4.
3 or 4.
Three in 2 years ago. Yeah. So like they have that opportunity. They have a guy that say you have no tight end that you can go get for a couple seconds. Now you have starting tight end because man, there's 12 teams in your league. And if you're in a league with me, I usually have 2 of the top 7 guys.
At least.
So,
and I've got 3.
Yeah.
So if you have number
I remember
8,
one startup, Matt drafted like 3 tight ends in the first like 6 rounds. We're like, what is Matt doing?
I love it, man. I love it. So like, screwing if you have tight end 8, 100%. There's 4 teams behind you don't have a better tight end.
I got Cole Kmet though.
Tight end 7.
Or 8. Or 9.
Must be Jake
or
11. Ferguson. He's in that board. So I understand what you're saying about not going to get those guys. But when definitely in tight end premium league, when I can get a guy for 2 seconds, sure. I know that I can start.
Right.
And I'm hoping my tight end 2. Or like in a premium league, like I could put in my flex spot. And it, like I said, with his red zone targets, I'm looking for 10 red zone regression. Yeah. The odds of him getting me 10 to 15 points per game now all of a sudden increase drastically.
Huge. And on top of that, Rich, there's going to be times when people overcommit to stop CeeDee Lamb, which is just going to leave him wide ass open. Sorry, explicit filters. Wide open.
Our show got changed anyway, so we're good now.
No, it's not. It's clean.
It's back again?
I checked it. It says clean.
Interesting. Someone sent me a screenshot of it.
It's clean.
Edited it out.
I checked it out today. So, but you're right. I mean, in that playoff game, right? Like Green Bay really wanted to settle on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb saw 17 targets. He had 9 receptions for 110 yards. Jake Ferguson, on the other hand, 12 targets. 10 receptions, 93 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So Dak is going to look CD every time, but when he's not there, he's going right to Jake Ferguson or the tight end.
Safety blanket. When you come into the league with a guy, like what's his name? God, Witten. You develop that kind of chemistry and you learn to rely on a safety blanket, right? And he's throughout the rest of his tenure, he's always looked for that safety blanket. Dak knows, I guess he knows the value of the tight end position. He knows what they can do for him. And that's kind of, I guess, the long and short of it. I guess of why I believe that he still relies on him so heavily.
And not only does the quarterback, as does the coach.
Sure. Yep.
Who calls the place?
Yep.
All right.
All right. So my next guy, I would say in the likelihood-o-meter of me thinking that this is going to happen, Zamir would be like a 10.
A 10.
This next guy, I'd be like a 4. Oh, wow. So this is me.
This is us
as a whole.
Third year hopeful.
This is a junior skipper.
So listen, here's the deal. I went up and down this list. I looked at every guy that was drafted in this draft class, and you don't even look at the quarterback position in the 22 draft.
Kenny Pickett.
They're all terrible. They're all either losing their job this year or they're in a different league.
Malik Willis.
Kenny Pickett. Are you kidding me? Yeah, all of them.
I said him first.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one.
Sam Howell. Sam Howell's going to be losing his job. You know what I mean? Like, these are
Sam Howell's the best of them.
The only one that's in here that was worth a damn was the last guy taken in the draft, and it was Brock Purdy.
Yeah, it is.
He's the only one.
He's pretty good.
So I can't tell you that he's going to step up next year because he's done already did.
He might step down.
Who's your junior jumper? Brock Purdy.
And forget about it.
Super Bowl?
Yep. And forget about any of these wide receivers. I was trying to make a case in my brain. I'm like Calvin Austin. I can make a case for Calvin Austin.
I mean, technically all you'd have to do is get like 2 points a game.
Yeah, that's a step up. And it's a step up. But how can you say that with going from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator? I'm not saying
very easy.
Any of these guys are going to make things better.
The good guys are getting the ball.
That's the like epitome of that grandpa that's shown the shirt that he got for Christmas, and it's the same shirt that he has on.
Yep, exactly.
That's basically the meme right there.
So then I'm like looking down the list. I'm like, all right, Richard, I got Jahan Dotson. I'm like, that's a pretty good one. I'm like, Velus Jones, give me a break. Kevin Austin, who? Like, these are the guys. There's no way I'm going to endorse Sky Moore. And then there's like Wandell Robinson. I'm like, all right, no, I'm not doing him.
he just got endorsed by, who just endorsed Wandell? Was it CeeDee Lamb? I think it was CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb did? Yeah. That's great. I mean,
sure.
I just don't.
He could.
He could also be the third best wide receiver on his team by this time next year. I mean,
yeah, Malik Nabers.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, they could draft a guy and he could be relegated to backup duty.
They better. Holy cow.
Danny Dimes needs a go to.
And there's no really other tight end of note. So anyway, long story short, my guy's Ty Chandler. And it's not because
I was wondering where it's going with this.
Yeah,
it's not because I don't like the guy, right? That I said by the likelihood-o-meter of him becoming the guy is like a 4 or 5. But it's just that, you know, he obviously last year he showed well enough. They didn't like what they saw out of Alexander Mattison. They started splitting carries in week 10. Week 10 to 14, they split carries basically. And after that, they just kind of gave the reins over to Ty Chandler. So, you know, it's the same offensive staff and all that good stuff. So you'd think, hey, maybe he's going to get a shot. It's just that he didn't do all that much with the opportunity he had. Like, he had one good week where he finished as running back 4. That was the first week. After that, it was running back 41 on the week, running back 31, running back 26. So it's not like he knocked the door down. I think he's the best option that they currently have on the roster, and they're basically stuck with Alexander Mattison next year for one more year. Yeah. And Ty Chandler's still on his rookie deal, so he's going to be there as well. But I have a hard time figuring out if they're going to go with this running back duo that they have that they were kind of underwhelmed with, or if they're going to go out and just get somebody in the draft. Which in my eyes is the most likely scenario. But that being said, Ty Chandler is still a guy that's pretty cheap right now, and he's at least got a shot, right? So that's why I'm like lukewarm on this one. He's got a shot, and I've liked some of his explosive traits. Yes. Yes. But I'm just kind of like, when you dig into it, there's not too much for me to stand it up with.
Yeah, if you look at Ty Chandler's stats last year, they're very whelming.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
You would think talking about him, like, oh, he took him in for, I was able to start him. He took over Alex Banner. Saying like, he's pretty good on the points per game, but everything he did was not.
There was one good game where he finished as a top 4 guy.
Exactly.
And that was it. So it's a hard one. I literally just didn't have anyone else that I could even prop up a little bit and say this guy's got an opportunity. So Ty Chandler's got an opportunity. I think he's better than Alexander Mattison, who is on this roster next year, could just due to his contract. But I don't know that the Vikings are going to see it like that and not go out and get somebody else. So there is some risk baked in.
There is for sure. But Jared and I were talking about this in one of our Talking Dynasty episodes. I love rostering guys like Ty Chandler simply because I know when they're valuable and when they're not. So if in week 11, Alexander Mattison goes down, I know he's getting the full workload. And I can do one of two things. I can capitalize on that and make a deal. And now I just turned, you know, him in 2 seconds into a first or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
I can make some moves with that. Or now I have somebody to fill in for me that I can confidently start this week because I know he's getting the workload. When a receiver goes down, I don't know. How much are they going to spread it around everybody? I have no idea. I love rostering those RB2s way more than the wide receiver 7, 8, 9 on my team because I know when there's value in that player. So I love guys like Ty Chandler, the Zamir Whites, those guys because, A, sometimes they actually do pan out and become something, but, B, I know exactly when I can use them.
And you always know their situational value. Mm-hmm. They're great fluid pieces on your roster. We said this on the show, I think even over a year ago, like you want as many running back twos on your roster as possible, as many, because a lot of them are going to get a chance. Like you want to draft those guys. You want to, you know, the end of your rookie draft, you're swooping up those running backs. Like you said before, like we don't need all these receivers on our roster. Mm-hmm. Like you don't need guys sitting there going, oh, if he gets a chance, if he doesn't, like they're just roster clogged.
If you start three, you need four. You want maybe a developmental guy or two.
Sure,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's
you want six quality guys, and then like a seven, maybe the seventh guy is kind of like a
developmental player.
Yeah, a guy that you might like out there.
Whereas I would love to have 10 running backs on my roster.
10 running backs.
Yeah,
tight end opportunities to have some
upside. I'm only starting two of them, but
and then backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, like, but at any point, any one of those guys could all of a sudden fall into
a 4 week role.
And all of a sudden I just got, you know, a late second for a guy that I was never going to play, never going to play him.
For how fluid the running back position is. If you have 10 running backs on your roster, as guys starting a position, you'll see how quickly you can accumulate second and third round picks.
Yes. Like, and all of a sudden you package some of those, get into the first.
Yeah. You're not just always looking for first round picks. So like, if you have a guy that you have for nothing, you got to remember, if you draft this guy in the fifth round, the fourth round of your rookie draft, now all of a sudden you got a third round pick or a second round pick, like you're making gains in Dynasty, like year in and year out. And now
you go poor making money.
And you're doing the same thing. Now you're using those pick, now you have two thirds, and you're taking both two running backs. Same thing. Or one tight end, one running back to really, because tight ends always fall, to add that liquidity.
Rich is having a day today.
He's having a day. I am having a day. Sometimes we record these podcasts late at night.
He's having a bidet.
that's why my tuchus is so clean.
Clean that thing out.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's about that liquidity.
Crushed it.
Of your roster. And it's very important in Dynasty, right? Have that to... not just for gains, but also for yourself to know when to like, hey, I know what I have here. I can just cut this player.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to have like a Josh Reynolds on your roster that you're never going to cut. He's going to be on your roster for 10 years because he's a flex spot if he gets the opportunity. Like he's serviceable.
Marquez Valdez Scantling.
He's even worse because
I was so happy when I cut that guy.
Two good games a year.
I was so happy.
Good luck guessing which ones they are.
Yep. I was so rich. Swooped him up.
I know, but I had five receivers on my team. I had no choice.
I needed someone with a pulse.
But and that's what you get. You get people like when you drop guys like that, like the Marquez Valdez Scantlins, the Josh Reynolds. People are like, oh my gosh, I need receiver help. I can pick that guy up, and then they pick him. Like, oh, who do I cut? And they cut it because they need receiver help.
Yeah.
They're not going to cut a receiver. They're going to cut a tight end, a quarterback, a running back, and those are the guys you want to swoop up and let them be liquid assets. So, who's your final guy?
Final guy, you know, we kind of scraped a little bit more of the bottom of the barrel here. And kind of like I did last time, I started off low, and then I skyrocketed to the top.
Now you're plummeting to the bottom?
No.
Oh, all right.
No, I'm staying here.
Staying on top. All right.
Going with Garrett Wilson.
Oh, nice.
Now this seems kind of weird for a third-year breakout because he's a valuable asset. You know, most people are taking him mid-second round to early third round in their startups. And everyone knows that he has talent, but I do believe that this is the year assuming health for the quarterback situation, that he goes from, man, he could be really good to he is really good. And I think
bonkers level.
Yes. You know, he goes into, yeah, I want him more than Amon-Ra. I want him more than Ja'Marr Chase. I want him like you're talking about those types of names when you're talking about Garrett Wilson. And here's the thing. Over the past 5 years, we've had 27 teams that have not passed for 3,500 yards. Obviously, the Jets have been on that list a few times, and including this season. During that span, though, only five players have ever accumulated 1,000 receiving yards on a team with less than 3,500 passing yards. Garrett Wilson is one of those few. Another one, Rich Dotson will love this, the one that actually has the most, DJ Moore this year with 1,300 yards on a team that passed for less than 3,500 yards.
He's a stud.
Yes. But Garrett Wilson, one of those few players that's able to, regardless of the situation, still able to be a good asset for your team.
And back-to-back years, he's had over 1,000. Both years in the league, he's had over 1,000 yards, which is crazy when you look at the quarterbacks he's had. There's like six different quarterbacks, all terrible.
And that's the thing. It's not even consistently the same terrible bad quarterback, so you can adjust to their badness. Like, no, it's just a random bad quarterback every time.
And Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Bad Joe Flacco, which I know it's
not
hard.
Not good Joe Flacco.
It's hard to even think of a bad Joe Flacco. Trevor Siemian.
You can if you think of the playoff game.
Mike White. Tim Boyle. Like
Skylar Thompson? No.
That was Miami.
That's Miami. Never mind.
No,
Miami.
Man. So it's been really bad. For him to get there and be a low-end wide receiver too and top 1,000 yards in both years is...
Right.
Shows you how talented he really
and
is.
And I think that's the thing. I think we've kind of forgotten how good he is because of how bad things have been.
That'll be fair. Last year, he had 163 targets. Third most in the league.
Who's going to change that?
Nobody. Because there's nobody.
No one's going to change it, but now they're going to get better. The targets themselves are going to be more quality.
Exactly. Most targets in the league, only behind Davante Adams and CeeDee Lamb.
I'd love to see his catchable targets.
I had that number and I lost it, but it was something around like it was like under 70%. It was bad.
I was gonna guess like 12.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason he only had 95 receptions on all of those. Like, he should have easily eclipsed 100 receptions,
which is crazy. Like almost half the balls. Like,
but here's the biggest thing, and I think. On the surface, the receiving numbers really aren't terrible. 1,042 yards, 95 receptions. Like, those are good. But it's because the offense couldn't move. He only had 3 touchdowns the entire season. You take those and just 6 or 7.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, and now instead of 1,000 yards, it's 1,200 yards. And, you know, now that those 95 catches are 110 catches. Like, just those
one.
Little incremental changes. And, yeah, he's a wide receiver one again as a very, very young player. Still only 23 years old. So, I get it. It's like, of course, Garrett Wilson's good. And no one's denying that. But I think we really could see him ascend into, you know, the guys that we've been talking about for years, the Cooper Kupps and the Davante Adams, like he can be now talked about as one of those truly elite receivers, as opposed to a guy that we're like, the potential's there, but we'll see. Like, no, I think it's actually going to come to fruition.
And there's probably a slight dip in the market. Not now. I would guess in 69% of leagues, he's not obtainable. But in the other 31% of leagues, people are probably like, you know what? I could do better than Garrett Wilson, the guy. The Jets suck.
I'm a child. I can't hear it and not laugh.
That's why I said it. I'm only here to amuse you.
I know.
For me, I mean, it's worth the risk. Like, I put an offer out there today for somebody that's been trying to get Saquon Barkley off my team, and he has Garrett Wilson. He's got 4 of the receivers.
Sure.
You want to trade him? So I sent him an offer. You won't accept it, but
God, no! He's going to reject that in a second.
I sent it anyways.
Hey, can't hurt, you know.
You approached me and said you need Saquon. This is what I want back.
For the record, I did not. That unnamed person did.
Oh yeah, unnamed.
Yes,
we'll leave him unnamed.
All right, so that's it, right?
That wraps it up.
Yeah.
All right, we're back next week talking.
So real quick, I said it was wrapped up. I found the number. It was 67.9% catchable target rate.
69%.
Not even 69.
So only 114 of those targets,
of those 165 were actually catchable targets.
So 114, and he caught 95 of them. So yeah, he is good at catching.
He does pretty well.
He is good.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Listen, combines next weekend.
Next week?
Yeah. So we are only like two weeks away from starting our rookie breakdowns, essentially. We're going to start off the quarterbacks, then go running back, then tight end, then wide receiver. We have a lot to cover. We might have to move some of these like late round wide receivers to the Nerd Herd episode just because there's so many receivers this year. I think we're even going to move our free agency show that we normally do. We're going to move that to the Nerd Herd as well just to get all this rookie stuff in. So where you will get all our rookie content, essentially, we are going to move some of those other shows, like basically almost just a free agency show, to the Nerd Herd. So don't forget, join Nerd Herd. It's a great place to be with the best tools, the best film room you're going to find anywhere in Dynasty Fantasy Football, all for the price of a cup of coffee. And there's promo codes out there. You just got to go find them.
There you go. Done.
Just go scour the internet. Adios.